That's good. Well, open your Bibles. Once again, I'll never stop saying it. It's good to have your Bible in your phones, in your iPad. There's nothing wrong with that. But please, have a Bible, physical Bible. And when you come to church, bring it. Okay, if you have one, if you don't have one, buy one. And when you come to church, carry it. Make sure you have a personal relationship with this. There is an attack on physical books. I don't know if you knew about this, but maybe I'll give you more details on that later. But yes, please, more than ever, cherish the Word of God. Cherish the Bible. You know, today is Mother's Day, so I've been debating whether I should do a Mother's Day sermon. But don't worry, you're not here for a Mother's Day sermon. But I will talk about mothers. And in the subject I want to talk about, I think it's going to be beneficial for husbands, children, everybody, you know. But the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30, open your Bibles with me. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Verse 30. Charm is deceptive, and beauty does not last. But a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. You could ask yourself, well, I mean, I thought you said we're not talking about, this is not a Mother's Day message. Don't worry. Because we're talking about women, what did they say? There's actually a French phrase that says, we all were born from a woman, right? We all have a mother. And I tell you, they say statistics shows it takes 5 years for a woman's body to recover after giving birth. Right? So if you have 3 children, you give at least 17, 18 years out of your life to birth, just to birth those kids. I love my mother, but I really got to love my mother, really, really appreciate my mother when I saw Kendra giving birth to our first child. And I'm like, what? You know? Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last. But a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. I mean, the book of Proverbs started with the word fear of the Lord and pretty much ended with the fear of the Lord. Go in the same book, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. See what it says. Proverbs 1, verse 1 to 7. It says, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. Even if you think you know, you want to know more. As a matter of fact, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know more. You don't know a lot. See, it is fools. You know, it is in the word here. Which verse is that? I'm gonna get to that verse. But there's a verse here. It says, "Fools think they know it all. Oh, I know it. Oh, I got it. Oh, yeah, I got it." Now, even if you know, if you think you know, just listen. You might learn something. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. By exploring the meaning of these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. And then there it is, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning, the foundation of true knowledge. So this verse here tells me there are false knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning, is the foundation. But fools, this is it, this is my verse. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. And we are not fools. So therefore, we will listen. So therefore, there is a great invitation for us today to listen and to apply. You know, they say wisdom is knowledge applied. The things you know you ought to do, you do it. Then that causes you to become a wise person. I love this verse. And let me tell you this, especially for you women. Kendra said it earlier. I'm not talking about mothers because, you know, I know that some of you, maybe you didn't naturally birth a child, but you still have mother instinct at work. You know, maybe you're a teacher, you've got nieces, you know, it's every woman has that motherly instinct. Charm is deceitful. So as you're getting older, you know, I live with my wife, okay? When your husband tells you, "Honey, you're beautiful," don't say, "I don't look beautiful anymore." Stop it. Okay. All right. Man, I finally hear Sim says, "Hear it, preacher." All right. Praise God. No, ladies, sisters, honey, you will still be the women of my youth. We're getting older together. We're getting wrinkles together. We're getting a little heavier together. And you know what's crazy? We're getting knee pain, back pain together. I love this. It says, charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But through all the world, I mean, when the world looked at it, thinking about your new car, you know, when you just bought that new car, man, you're always washing it every week. 2 years later, what's going on? Man, you never look at this car. It's like, you know, the tires are dirty and it's not new anymore. So please, ladies, accept praises from us, from your husband, from your, when they say, "Honey, you're beautiful." Because I'm going to talk to the guys as well and the kids. I've been thinking about this and I realize my wife, and I thank God for my wife. She's a godly woman. She's a beautiful woman. But she's not 22 anymore. So therefore, she needs to stop complaining and accept when I say, "Honey, you beautiful." You're beautiful to me. Come on, what are you talking about? When I say you look beautiful and you're like, I'm ugly, I'm fat, I'm too short, I'm too tall. You know, that's discouraging me. What are you telling me to do? Start looking for beauty elsewhere? I don't want to do that. Are you with me? And I realized, I heard it actually from Lisa Bevere this week too. It says a woman does not need to take her values as a woman from stripping it from a man. A woman does not to take her values from devalue men. And society, that's what society is doing right now. They're devaluing men. They're making men look, appear weak, you know, the lack of identity, you know. It's like everybody's looking for their identity, for who they are. When in reality, true values only come from knowing Christ. Can I have a better witness? Come on, guys, you can do better with that. Because think about it. True values comes from God. From knowing Christ. I don't have to devalue somebody else to make myself feel valuable. What a mindset. I don't have to bring anybody else down for me to feel worth. Why? Because my worth is from the Lord. I mean, you guys know, you know what an acoustic is. I looked for a couple this week, and I find one about mother, which is, I think, is really good. It says in mother, the word stands, the word M is for the million things she gives me. Amen? I mean, all of us who experience good or bad mother, you know, because sometimes you could go back, you're like, man, my mother was such a terrible mother, you know, but she gave you birth. She could have aborted you. She gave you life. The letter O means only that she's, growing old. But at the same time, it's very hard for women. I don't know for men. I think we're okay with it. I'm okay with getting old. I never look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, man, I'm getting old. I'm good with getting old. I don't look like I'm 19. But I know, ladies, I know you struggle. I know you look at your face, you look at your body, you look at your belly, you look at everywhere else, you're like, oh my goodness. That's why I'm going to talk to the guys here, my brothers here. If you have a woman in your life, a mother, your wife, your daughter, somebody that needs praise, somebody that needs, your praise. You need to praise you need to praise them. You need to appreciate them. You must. Don't be like this guy who said, man, if I ever change my life. Now, you know, there's a story, a couple went to the pastor, and she was having a big issue in her mind, and the husband was trying to figure out what the problem was. And, you know, they sat in front of the pastor, and she started crying. And the pastor, okay, well, why don't you just please tell us what the problem is? And she's, like, really crying deep into it. And she says, you know what, Pastor? My husband never tells me he loves me. She's craving for that. My husband is just so nice with everybody, telling them they're pretty, you know. But me, he never does that. And then poor guy, he's looking at her. He's like, that's the problem? That's the problem. He didn't get it. And then the story goes on. He says, well, you know, Pastor, I thought I told her I love her when I got married. And if I ever change my mind, I'll tell her. Don't be that guy. Do not be this dumb fool. If I ever change my mind, I will tell her. No way. She needs to hear. She needs to know. I tell you, I praise my wife. I praise my woman. If she would be really honest with you, if she could be really honest with you, you would know as much as, we have teenagers here. You know, they say men's got three different needs, you know, and women's got three different needs. Women's top priority needs is word of affirmation, affection. Number one for a woman. She needs it like she needs breath. She needs it. And I know it's unfortunate, that some of you women might have a husband or people in your life who doesn't appreciate you for who you are. They never tell you you love you. They never tell you they love you. They don't appreciate who you are. And I believe that's where spiritual fathers, spiritual brothers come in place. I mean, even in the church, like if I see my sister Ursel, and I say, "Man, Ursel, you look beautiful today. That's pure stuff. You know, she's my sister. I say, you look nice. But at the same time, I better be telling my wife that too. Are you with me? Because the body of Christ, we do complete each other. And I tell you, you'd be surprised how many people that goes to church, they do not have someone at home closer to praise them, to value them for who they are. And this is where we come in play. The body of Christ, we encourage each other. The O means only that she's getting old. The T in mother is for the tears she shed to save me. I've got three children, and I realize there's a difference between the mother's love and father's love. Oh, I love my kids, but I tell you, there are times I felt like I could turn my love off. I don't know about you, but I'm just being honest. Because it's like, you know what, this child right there just get under my skin, and right now, there is no more grace. So therefore, I went to the switch, the grace switch, the grace faucet, the grace love. I turned it off. Thank God for the gospel. Because people that does that to their kids, they become bitter. And then they cut relationship. But then I'm looking at my wife going through the same thing, and I see she still loves them. There's nothing like the love of a mother. Can I have a better witness? See how much your mother loved you. How much she was there for you. The H is for her heart as pure as gold. The E is for her eyes with love light shining. And the R, I love, that's my favorite letter. It says, it means right. She's always right. Listen to your mothers. Listen, when I'm talking about mothers, it could be a spiritual figure in your life. But I'm not also making reference of someone who is older than you. Because you might be older and you have a younger spiritual mother. You have a younger spiritual father. It's those people that God placed in your heart to speak identity, to speak values, to speak life in your life. You know? People do acoustic, I find out this week, to express their love, to let people know how they appreciate them. Now, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 to 30, I don't know if I have time, I don't want to read it. You go ahead and read it. But there's a couple verses I want to touch. In those verses, there are 22, what I call praiseworthy words that Solomon uses to praise a woman. I mean, he says, who can find, verse 10, Proverbs 31, who can find a virtuous? You know, virtue means, it means someone who shows high moral quality. I mean, if you look at society now, it's like they're trying to sell the louder you are, the more obnoxious you are, the more disrespectful you are. It's like society is promoting immorality. But here, this is the word of the Lord. He says, who can find such women? And I thank God this morning for godly women in our midst. You ladies are godly. You're not perfect. Kendra said it. Right? What is it? It says a woman doesn't need, it says there's no way to be perfect. There's no way to be a perfect mother and a million ways to be a good one. There are children out there. There are people, even people in your own family that needs a mother. If you see your sister as being a bad mother, maybe this is a great opportunity for you to be a good aunt, to be someone, you know, this aunt that your nieces and nephews cannot go without. Or when they think about you, they love you. Who could find this woman and a capable wife? She's more precious than rubies. And then it goes on. In these verses, through these verses, you read them later. There are at least 22 praiseworthy words that the guy, Solomon, is talking about this woman. I mean, and there's a reason I choose to talk about a woman who fears the Lord this morning. Because I believe all of us can learn from it. I think a sermon like this or a message like this can do us a lot of goods. For example, it should aim and encourages us here in this body to continue, for you women, continue to walk in the fear of the Lord. As people are waving back and forth, you stay steadfast. Kendra, keep going. You know, Ange, keep going. Sharon, ladies, Sandra, keep going. Keep being a woman who fears the Lord. Priscilla, keep fearing God. But also, it's helping us as husbands, to start praising our wives. I think you are a fool. Now, I'm not calling anybody fool because the Bible says do not call people fool. I'm just using the word of God in Proverbs. It says a person who despises wisdom is a fool. Knowledge, understanding. If you have a wife, a mother in your life, praise them. Let them know how much they're worth. Don't wait for Mother's Day or Valentine's Day. Come on, stop it. Use all year round. Maybe they knew already. Like I said earlier, maybe you ladies, it's hard. It's difficult for you to receive compliment. You know, some people, it's just hard for them to receive compliment. But receive it. Change. Repent. That's it. Children, tell your mother. Anybody else here like me, like to hear well done? Oh, yeah. Well done. Oh, yeah, that's good. You know, you're at work, your boss shows up, he's like, well done, man. Can you imagine your mom, your wife, hearing that? I know for a fact, I have one, I live with one. I know she needs it. She needs to hear it. Well done. That's good. You know, don't just vent to your friends. Oh, man, my wife is just so, she's amazing, you know. Make it a public declaration. Not only that, but make sure you whisper it in their ears. You're so good, honey. Yeah, you're good to me. I thank God for you. I thank God for you. You know, some of you, you're not maybe as good as me, like in words and stuff, because I, you know, that's what they say. But try it. Let me tell you, honey, you're so good. You've raised our kids so well. Thank you for giving your life for our children. You'll be surprised what that does to her. And then the other thing also, I believe talking about this morning, when we praise a woman, I think I said that already, it does encourages her. Now, what does it mean to fear the Lord? Why is it important for us to praise the women in our life? How can you tell if a woman has the fear of the Lord? What does it mean to fear the Lord? This is the answer. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Proverbs 31 verse 30. I like how it says it in the Passion version. It says, charm can be misleading. And beauty is vain. And so quickly fades. But a virtuous woman lives in wonder. awe and fear in fear of the Lord. She will be praised throughout eternity. Wow. So even if she's gone from this life to the next, her legacy lives forever. That's what it's talking about. You know those loose women, those wild women, when they're gone, they're gone. But you remember your grandmother, this virtuous woman? You see how the family, even she's been gone for 30 years, we're still talking about her. Your mom talks about her. Your aunt talks about her. So good. Go ahead. Give her the credit that she's due. For she has become a radiant woman. And all her loving works of righteousness deserve to be admired at the gateways of every city. You know, when I read Exodus chapter 20, verse 18, God gave the Israelites the Ten Commandments. You remember what happened in the story? God showed up, and then there was this big manifestation. The people got scared. They told Moses, please, don't talk. I mean, you talk to God, and you come and talk to us because we are afraid. This is what they say. Moses says, do not fear. For God has come to prove you, and that the fear of him may be before your eyes, that you may not sin. I tell you, more than ever, these days, the church needs to revisit the fear of the Lord. Because everybody think, oh, God is this cool dude. Hey, what's up, dude? Sup? God is still a devouring fire. I think we need to go and visit the book of Revelation again. You know, talking about the book of Revelation, I want to congratulate some of our home groups who are done with Revelation. Yeah, I think our group in Virginia Beach is the only group that's still in chapter 15. Now, it's because I'm doing it, you know, I skip, you know. But everybody, men's group, we have what, one more chapter? That's so good. We need to revisit the fear of the Lord. We need to go to the book of Revelation to realize God doesn't mess around. Right now, we have grace through the blood of Jesus. There is no judgment. God's not judging anybody. But judgment will come. And who will be able to stand? That's why today, if you hear the voice of the Lord knocking in your heart, on your heart, open up. Accept him. Repent of your sin. Make things right. See, Moses was telling the people, do not fear from coming to God, but be in fear that God despises sin, and he will judge rightly, justly. The fear of the Lord is fear of fleeing out of fellowship into the way of sin, deception, and lies. I'm going to repeat that. The fear of the Lord is the fear, or must be the fear, of fleeing out of fellowship with him. You should be afraid. The fear of the Lord is to hate what God hates. The fear of the Lord is to praise what God praises. More than ever, we need a fresh outpouring of the fear of God in our midst. We don't mess with sin. Any deception, anything that separates us from the glory of God. We don't touch it. You know, I hear people say culture expression may differ or change. But let me tell you this. This will never change. The word of God never changes. Culture is changing. People say, you know what? Society is evolving. Let me tell you this. The kingdom of God remains the same. God is the same from yesterday, today, and forever. That's why we build our life not on others' conviction, personal conviction. We build our personal conviction on the word of God. The word of God teaches us what a godly, what a woman who fear God looks like. Not society. I like this. I think that's also on our website, on our front page. It says culture expression may differ, But the call is the same, to live a radical lifestyle in obedience to the principle of the Bible, to the principle of the Word of God. The fear of the Lord is reverence for the Lord. It says what? Charm is deceitful, deceptive. Beauty is not to last. But a woman who fears the Lord, or in this, right now, in this moment, I would add, anyone, any believer, a man who fears the Lord must be, will be greatly praised. The fear of the Lord is reverence. Oh, that's why I'm going to encourage you, please, when you come before God, when we come on Sunday morning, come on time. I'm going to close that. Our service starts at 10. You have this rendezvous with God. You come on time. When you come, I mean, I was called for jury duty, okay? That's a great experience. You're not allowed to go in with your phone, with your watch, with you could take a book. Next time I go, I'll take my Bible. Because you're there forever, you know, and you could read a lot. Oh, I'm going to take a good book. But when we come before God, you come in awe, expecting. Cut the distraction. If you're using your phone, put it on airplane mode. Because right now you have this moment with God. The fear of the Lord is reverence, awe, respect. Respect. But you know what religion does? Religion took this phrase right there and tortured it. Because I remember when I was growing up, our church was very religious. They put a lot of emphasis on the building. It's, you know, remember I said, I'm going to church. I mean, yeah, this building is dedicated for God's work. So it is a church building. But really, God doesn't dwell here. Amen? God dwells here. The Holy Spirit dwells here. So we could do spring cleaning this place. If this heart, my soul, is not in perfect communion with God, I tell you, it doesn't matter. The trumpet will sound, God have mercy. So they put a lot of emphasis on the building. They told us as young people, we are not supposed to go in church in short. You don't walk in the sanctuary with shorts. Why? Because God is in the temple. Be aware of His holiness. And I remember, I didn't even know about this. One day, I'm going to church. It was youth activity, and I'm walking in church. And then one of the deacons saw me. I mean, he yelled at me. He's like, well, where are you going? What are you doing? And I'm thinking, what have I done wrong? What did I do? That was the first time. I didn't even know that rule was in place until I violated, pretty much. He says, what are you doing? I said, I'm just going. I don't even remember. He says, you don't know you're not supposed to go in the sanctuary in shorts. Because they think God is in this building. He's not in your car. He's not behind doors. He doesn't see that mind, those thoughts, those evil thoughts. That's what we're thinking. This morning, the fear of the Lord is reverence for Him. The fear of the Lord guides me behind doors. When I'm in front of the computer, no one is there. When my mind is wandering around, the fear of the Lord guides me when this driver give me the left signal and they want to move over, and then the light is red up there, but I still sped up to make sure they don't come in. You're not going in. You will not go in it. Where are you going, buddy? Jesus, help us. Father, forgive us. I think about that a lot when I'm driving. You see how we are so selfish. The fear of the Lord is reverence. And I told you, it's not a Mother's Day message. But I love the fact that Proverbs put a lot of emphasis, begin with the word fear of the Lord is the foundation, the beginning of knowledge. And then he went on, finish the book with the same word, saying, you know what? Even chapter 1, it talks about, you son must listen to your mother's instruction. And then it goes on through the whole book. It talks about women, men, you know, family life and all that stuff. And it's like, listen, a woman who fears the Lord, any person who fears the Lord, that person is great, must be praised. The fear of the Lord is reverence. Respect for the Lord. I shouldn't, if you understand the fear of the Lord, I should not be the one telling you, do not text when you're really having this encounter with Jesus. This is how I grew up in the fear for my wife. Because we do have the fear, but I'm not afraid of her. See, the fear of the Lord is not being afraid of God. It's this awe. It's this love I have for God. I don't want to hurt him. I remember the time Kendra used to fuss about my phone. I say fuss because I didn't get it. Right? What? You fussing again? You're fussing about that? You want to have an argument about this? But she's like, you know, every time you're on your phone, especially on date night, because sometimes date night I live here and I'm going home and I have a conversation in the car and I walk in the house with the conversation. Don't do that. But I grew out of it to realize if I'm talking with her, if she's talking with me, maybe not everybody's like me, but me, my brain, the way it functions, I've got boxes. I've got, like, if I'm on text mode, WhatsApp, message, email mode, you could be out there giving me vital information. And I hear your voice in the background, and I'm not registering anything. Because I'm not multitasking. I can do a lot of things, but I can only focus on one thing. Maybe some of you are different. So therefore, when she's telling me how, you know, different things, kids, ministry, life, whatever, and I'm on this text, or I'm on this thing in my mind, and then we have this defense mechanism, you know, men, for us. If she's talking, you want to make sure, you kind of want to give her the idea you're listening, you go like this, this is our defense mechanism, right? I got you, but you're not registering anything. I don't know about you, but this is my story. Until she really came around to encounter you and you realize nothing was registered. The fear of the Lord is to love God enough. I love her so much that I decided, I turned my phone off, I put it on the side, I said, okay, baby, what? So the phone's not here, or even, yeah, the phone, even if it's within my hands, it's disabled. There's no other thing striving for my attention. The fear of the Lord is that. When I go in the presence, I live behind these doors, every other distraction. The fear of the Lord means worship God, worshiping him, standing in awe of him. That's why why do we do this? Why do we raise our hands? You know, this is a sign of a surrender. That's why when you sing, you know, you sing, you won't relent until you have it all. Why do I close my eyes? I don't close my eyes to get closer to God. Let me tell you this. If you sing this in my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou. Are you singing this like that? You're looking around, that's good.
Let me tell you this. When you close your eyes singing it, that doesn't bring you a little closer to God. The only thing it does to you, for you, is just it prevented you from being distracted. And sing, my soul, my Savior. I'm thinking, my Savior, Jesus died for me. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Oh, shout to the Lord. Right now, I'm joining my voice with, that's the only reason. What they call worship expression. I express myself in worship. You know, I mean, nowadays, even on earth, when a physical king walked the room, people don't drop down anymore, but they go like, Your Majesty, right? Your Majesty, right? You know, and then we think, well, God is just, oh, God is such a good God. He is a good God. God is such a chill father. Let me tell you this, there is no other chill father than him. But God is also, he doesn't mess around. He's not just your buddy. He's the King of Kings. So we need this reverence. We need this holy fear of him. Because the fear of God will keep you from evil. I don't do certain things, not because I'm afraid of people, but I'm afraid what will happen to me. Oh, I know that's not happening. Fearing God means placing God first. Fearing God in your life, the fear of God means you desire to please God than anybody else. I desire to please God then more than my wife. That's what they say. Two people who are living in fear of the Lord will have a good marriage. Why? Because sometimes I want to choke her. But the fear of the Lord is keeping me from not doing that. The fear of the Lord is like, no, husband, you got to be nice. You got to love her like Jesus. I said, Lord, why didn't you tell her to love me like you love the church? Why do you have to put that on my shoulders? No, Paul says, husband loves your wife like Jesus loves the church. Man, what a burden. Thank God for the fear of the Lord. Because of the fear of the Lord, I can do it. That's what I'm talking about here. The fear of the Lord means worship him. The fear of the Lord means your desire is to please him more than anything else. More than Facebook, more than my friends. I don't care if everybody disown me, dislike me. As long as my God is still in love with me, let's go. Because at the end of the day, nobody can do anything for you. You need a fresh outpouring of the fear of God. You need the fear of God. You must fear him in everything you do. And then you will prosper. You will prosper. Your spiritual life. People will look at yourself. You're like, man, how come you can still have joy in the midst of this? How come you can still have peace in the midst of this? You know why? Because I understand the fear of God. Fearing God means you become one. You become holy. You become a man of character, a woman of character. You're the same person everywhere. You don't have a face here. You don't have a face at work. You don't have a face at school. You don't have a face, you know. I remember those days. There was a time I had 6 of them. I had a face for every places. Even different friends, different people you are with, you have a face. You are more concerned, the fear of God means you are more concerned about what God thinks of you than what others think of you. That's it. This morning, receive the fear of God. Fear God. Fear God. Fear God. And we're going to learn in this one chapter in Acts. It says, God added daily in their midst new people. And there was a sense of, oh, people had this sense. We don't mess with God. Don't mess with God. Don't mess with him. Don't mess with the word of God. Don't try to get God's word to say the things you want it to say.
Fearing God also means honoring God, reverencing God's word. And once again, I'll never stop telling you this. I mean, our phones are expensive, $400 or $500. I tell you. And we buy a case for $50 to make sure we protect that $400 or $500. And we put a screen protection on it because we don't want to crack the screen, which is awesome. We're protecting our investment. Some of us even buy Apple Care because that way we have insurance. If it lost, if it breaks, if it gets wet, that's good stuff. Fear of the Lord means you value His word. Value God's word. Buy a Bible. Carry your Bible. Read the Bible. Obey the Bible. You'll be blessed in all you do. In all you do. And at the end of the day, that's what will save you. Amen? And I'm going to finish next week because there's, in the book of Acts, there's a lot of different section that talks about the fear of God. But today, what a verse. Beauty is deceptive. Charm is deceptive. And beauty does not last. But a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Today we want to pray for you ladies. Where are you at? And then at the end of the service, you're going to come up. Thank you, Pauline, for doing this. This is just a short way to honor you, to let you know, hey, we thank God for you. We thank God for godly women. We thank God for giving our young kids an example to follow. But at the same time, we charge you. Go out there, continue to be a God-fearing woman. Amen? Let's stand. I'm going to pray for the ladies. If you have a lady next to you, just put your hands over her. And we're going to pray. We pray this. Pray with me. We just bless. We lay hands on them. Father, we thank you for the ladies. We thank you for mothers. We thank you, God, even for the fact that you are working in their lives. And you know, life comes and do things to them, but man, they're steadfast. Thank you for all these quality women we have in our midst. You know, today might be a difficult day for some people because of, you know, family division. Their kids don't talk to them. Mothers missing their children. Whatever that is, Father. Whatever they're going through, Lord. We pray that Holy Spirit, you'd minister to them. But as for us, God, we are so thankful and we honor the ladies here. Lord, we thank you for the way you're teaching our hearts to gravitate more towards living a life in the fullness of obedience to you, Lord, to fully obeying your word. The fear of the Lord is obeying God's word. Fear of the Lord is love what God's love. Fear of the Lord is despise, dislike what God's dislike. The fear of the Lord is loving people. So, Father, we thank you, Lord. We bless each person here, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. God's people say, amen, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you guys.